In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. As massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view, we pass to the dark side of the planet, where the continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and the massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company. Now, blue light outlines a Celtic mandala as it wheels slowly to center screen. A word appears as a shimmer passes over both the symbol and the letters. Legendary. As a title appears, flames illuminate the block letters from below. Dracula. Another line of text fades in. Untold. Now we race along the ground, following the path of a metal chain.
In the year of our Lord, 1442.
It connects to a shackled boy.
The Turkish Sultan enslaved 1,000 Transylvanian boys to fill the ranks of his army.
Frozen in time, the boy cowers beneath a whip.
These child slaves were beaten without mercy.
Two boys battle.
Trained to kill without conscience, to crave the blood of all who defied. The Turks.
With their mouths agape, helmeted soldiers stand frozen in battle. Crosses adorn their uniforms over chainmail.
From among these boys, one grew into a warrior, so fierce that entire armies would retreat in terror at the mention of his name.
A knight hangs skewered on a pole.
Vlad the Impaler, son of the dragon.
A crucifix pendant dangles from Vlad's clasped hands.
Sickened by his monstrous acts, Vlad came to bury his past with the dead and returned to Transylvania to rule in peace. His subjects called him prince. I called him father. But the world would come to know him as Dracula.
He kneels before hundreds of bodies impaled on pikes. Now we see the sleek black hair at the back of a man's head. He turns to a group of men who wait cautiously near a peaceful creek. A raggedy man with a cap covering his dirty blonde hair crouches among them.
I left it where I found it. What do you think, Vlad?
The sleek-haired Vlad shifts his cold stare.
Bring it to me.
One of Vlad's men dislodges a metal helmet jammed between the rocks in the creek and hands it to the brooding, handsome leader.
This belongs to a scout, one of Hamza Bey's men.
What the hell's a lone Turk doing out here?
Turkish scouts never travel alone. If there's one, there's more. And whatever they scout, they conquer.
Standing on a rock on the creek's edge, Vlad surveys the placid landscape.
This is washed downstream.
He climbs to another rock and notices a distant mountain.
Came from up there. Broken Tooth Mountain. Soon it will be night. They'll seek refuge. Dimitra, I need you to return to the castle. Alert the guards and double the sentry.
What? I'm not leaving you here.
For the Turks to cross into my land unannounced is a sign of war.
But what are you going to do if you find them?
I'll do what princes do best. Negotiate. Nikolai, Andre, with me.
Vlad tosses Dimitra the helmet.
Wallet!
The blonde-bearded man turns it in his hands, revealing a deep slash resembling a claw. Now we take in Broken Tooth Mountain from a distance, then soar through a valley towards its ominous, jagged peak. Dark clouds hover behind it. Vlad and his two men patrol a cliff. Red-headed Andre turns to the dark-bearded Nikolai, who peers into a cave.
Anything?
Nikolai cranes his neck for a better view. Brown rocks frame the mouth of the dark cave. Dust blows in the warrior's face.
Smells like your feet.
Bats swarm from the cave. The warriors flee to each side of the open crevice. Vlad watches the bats fly away, then steps to the mouth of the cave.
They're inside.
How do you know?
Bats don't come out during the day. Something's disturbed them.
All three men brandish their swords.
Come on.
Vlad leads his men inside. Darkness overtakes our view. Two stones set a torch ablaze. Vlad walks ahead of his team. He spots an odd insect crawling by abandoned supplies. The men advance further into the cobweb-filled cave. They see more swords and a shield shredded by a familiar three-clawed mark. Holding the torch, Andre examines his surroundings. He steps forward with a furrowed brow. Vlad grabs a handful of debris from the cave floor. Nikolai steps behind him.
What is it, my lord? The floor. It's crushed bone. The Turks didn't do this.
Andre turns with a nervous look. Skulls litter the cave's walls. A ghostly white light washes over Andre, while red light pulsates within him.
What's that?
Andre gets dragged away.
We leave. Now.
Viewed through the ghostly perspective, the men run. We see a flash of fangs. Nikolai gets tossed to the ceiling. Vlad slashes at the creature, which throws him back and sends his sword from his grasp. Vlad crab crawls toward the cave's entrance. As the creature approaches, Vlad grabs his blade. Light from outside reflects off the sword. The glowing-eyed, fanged figure retreats into the darkness. Vlad stares after the beast, then notices his blade. In the light, the monster's blood evaporates from its surface. On horseback, Vlad streaks across an open field. We approach a Gothic building. Words appear. Castle Dracula. Inside, a monk leads Vlad through a candle-filled room.
The creature you encountered was no accident, my prince. Four nights ago, every brother in our order awoke from an identical dream. I would not have thought it possible had I not suffered the same vision myself that night. Of a creature laying siege to this holy place.
The monk opens a book with eerie illustrations.
The Roman mystics prophesied the coming of a great evil. A vampire. From the Greek word, pie. To drink. The beast was once a mortal man who summoned a demon from the depths of hell to trade for his dark power. The demon tricked the man, granting his wish. But his price was an eternity condemned to the darkness of that cave, where he remains until he finds another to set him free. Now you know its true face.
The people of Transylvania live in enough fear of the Turks' return. Promise me you'll guard this secret, brother.
In an ornately decorated room, a boy and beautiful blonde woman fight with toy swords. A smiling woman tidies up. Preparing to enter, Vlad pauses for a moment before the boy spots him.
Papa!
The boy leaps into Vlad's arms.
I missed you.
And I you. My big soldier.
The blonde embraces Vlad.
What an embrace, but no kiss.
Are we going to argue?
You're always leaving, I need my fill.
They kiss.
I've missed you.
Something troubles you. What is it?
Vlad looks deeply into her eyes.
Only the impossible depth of your beauty puts the rest of the world to shame.
Pay no attention to your father, Ingris. Flattery is a cheap distraction from truth.
She knows all my tricks.
You're a terrible liar. It's one of your most endearing qualities. You're just in time for bed.
She gives Ingeris a kiss. The boy nestles himself under the covers as Vlad leaps in beside him. They hug.
Can we go riding tomorrow, Papa?
Of course we can.
You most certainly cannot.
Why not?
Because tomorrow is the day of our risen Lord.
Oh, of course.
That's Easter.
She exits.
What was I thinking?
In another room with a crackling fire, Vlad undresses.
So what attacked you? Wolves?
I suppose.
He removes his shirt. Seated at a mirror, his wife combs her long blonde hair worriedly.
All I know is that I've lost two good men today.
Vlad lowers himself into a metal bathtub. His muscular back reveals many scars. His wife approaches the edge of the bath and dips a cloth into the water.
There's something more.
I was the same age as Ingeris when I was sent to live with the Turks. To fight for them.
He kisses her hand.
If I never saw another, it would be too soon.
You're home now. For almost as many years as you were gone.
Vlad touches her face gently.
I just want peace. That's all.
He leans up for a kiss. He playfully pulls her into the water. Daytime. The castle sits alongside a rocky cliff. Inside, large double doors open as Vlad and his wife enter a bustling meal hall. Men, monks, and children attend. Dimitru stands among them.
My fellow Transylvanians, an Easter toast. 10 years of peace and prosperity ever since our prince came back to us. My old friend, here's to 20 more. 20 more!
They all lift their metal goblets. The party continues with wine and musicians. At the head of the room, Vlad and his wife sit in ornate chairs. The massive doors open. Vlad looks up from his goblet as a well-groomed, bearded soldier leads a group of men into the hall. Vlad rises from his seat. A blue-eyed intruder with his blonde hair braided atop his head leers at a young woman. The well-groomed soldier stops before the royal dining table.
Hamzabey.
Welcome. We were not expecting you so soon.
Sultan Mehmed II offers his salutations to you and your son.
Thank you. I have his tribute ready.
Silver coins featuring Vlad's profile fill our view. Hamza Bey smiles.
I'm afraid there's something more than a tribute to discuss.
The Turks have no enemies here.
Did you think we would not notice a battalion of our scouts missing?
I did not kill them.
Subtitles appear. It still lives inside you, Lord Impaler. Locked in a dark cage, hidden away. But you and I, we both know it's there.
The Sultan's tribute. Take it and leave.
The bearded soldier nods with a smug smile. He nods to Vlad's wife, then turns away.
Ah! There is one last thing. The Sultan requires 1,000 boys to join his Janissary Corps.
No! Janissaries. He ended that practice years ago.
When a soldier is plucked as a child and raised to know no other life, they will kill without question and die without complaint. Any who are 15 years of age or older will fight in Hungary. Those 10 to 14 will be made ready for the siege on Vienna. The Sultan expects your obedience. After all, did not your own father give you up without a fight?
The blonde braided man grabs a boy by the face. Subtitles. Soft, but they'll do. The boy's father stops him.
Please.
The blonde man reaches for his weapon and Vlad swoops in. Do you know who I am? You mean who you were. Vlad lets him go. You have no army and no choice, Prince. Follow our command or suffer the consequences. Hamza Bey snaps his fingers. The soldiers march out of the hall. Vlad's wife and son stare nervously. A middle-aged advisor approaches Vlad.
It must be done. Courage, anger, even love, none of these can matter to a prince. All that matters is his duty to his people.
Later, Vlad sits on his son's bed.
What does it mean to be a royal hostage?
My father gave me to the Sultan to prove his loyalty.
Were you scared there? With them?
I wanted to make my father proud.
Would you ever give me to the Sultan?
Vlad leans close to Ingeris.
That was a long time ago. You have nothing to worry about. You understand?
The boy nods.
Good.
The prince smiles and leaves his son. Ingeris looks up toward his ceiling with an unsettled gaze. Later, Vlad and his wife lie in bed.
If I defy the order, they'll kill 100 for every one I save.
You told me you and Mehmed were once like brothers. Were you to ask? Isn't it possible he might show you some mercy?
She hands her husband a cross pendant. Daytime, in full armor and on horseback, Vlad holds the cross in his hand. He tucks it away in his gauntlet, then leads his men through a hostile Turkish camp. The enemy soldiers sneer and spit in the Transylvanian's path. Following Vlad on horseback, a soldier turns to Dimitru.
You ever see the like of it?
Soon the entire world will be Turk.
An aerial view shows the expansive Turkish camp. Now Vlad and his company enter a tent draped in fine cloth. In the reflection of a golden table, we see a stern man. He wears short cropped hair and an immaculate beard and mustache.
Lord Impaler. My oldest of friends.
Now they drink at a private table.
I miss our days together.
All I miss from my time with you is the coffee.
It's true. My father's palace was a cruel place for a young boy far from home. But soon you talked like us, prayed like us, fought like us. Speaking of which, I am owed 1,000 boys. Why have I not seen them?
Mehmet, my brother, I will grant you anything else.
I need soldiers.
Mehmet leans forward.
Brother.
He leaves his seat. Vlad stands angrily.
Then take me. I'm worth 1,000 boys and you know it.
Those kings would tremble if they knew.
Then accept my offer.
When we were boys, how I longed to fight side by side. But now I'm Sultan, what need have I for one more soldier? I will have my 1,000 boys. And one more.
Elsewhere, Vlad's family travels by carriage.
Your son will be raised under my roof. Just as you were raised under the roof of my father. You may retain your throne.
Mehmet slices his thumb.
But General Ismail will remain to see that my orders are fulfilled.
Lutfen, Ponabon,
please do not do this.
What is one son? If you are virile, you will make plenty more.
Mehmet signs a document with his bloody thumbprint, then walks away. In an open field, the royal carriage approaches Vlad, who waits beside a lone tree. Vlad's wife steps down from the carriage and marches past her husband. She looks fearfully toward a group of approaching riders on horseback. Dimitru and the middle-aged advisor follow her with Ingeris as Hamza Bey halts his riders. The woman turns to Vlad.
You promised me this would never happen.
Marina, listen.
The day you asked for my hand, do you remember what I said?
You said no. Stay, my young friend.
I knew what happens to the sons of the queen. You said things would be different. You said if I loved you, I should trust you. I love you.
And trust me, it's this or we start a war.
Hamza Bey turns to his men. The great Impaler can't please his woman.
Just saying the goodbyes is all.
No. Marina. I won't let you promise my
please.
Family. Stop it, don't touch me. No, I won't. I won't let them do.
Marina clings to her son. Vlad strides toward Hamza Bey. The Turk points and Vlad drops his sword in the dirt. Mirena and the men watch Ingeris run to his father. She rushes a few steps after him, then stops. Ingeris catches up to Vlad, grabs his hand, and looks up at him.
I can do it. You're proud of me, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Mirena watches tearfully as the father and son walk hand in hand toward Hamza Bey. The Turkish warrior gives Ingeris a wink and a smile.
You have chosen wisely. I have to say, we're a little disappointed, frankly. I expected more resistance from you.
Hamza Bey grins at Vlad, who eyes him coldly. The prince glances back at Mirena, who gives him a desperate look. Vlad kneels down and stares into his son's eyes.
Run to your mother.
What?
Now.
Ingeris runs. Vlad grabs Hamza Bey's sword and slices off both his arms. Vlad swipes at Hamza Bey, who falls to the ground. The prince takes on two men and plunges a sword into one. He stabs a third soldier through the stomach and stabs another through the foot. He grabs an opponent's sword and slices it across the men. Vlad impales a final man through the throat. The Transylvanian prince stares off and shakes his head. He looks upward and steadies his right hand. A jewel sits in a silver ring on his finger. As a gentle breeze catches his long red cape, he heads back to his family. Mirena and Ingeris stand to face him as he walks down the dirt path.
Mehmet will punish all of Transylvania for what you have done.
Vlad faces his wife.
It's not a child's place to save his country.
Get my family to the castle.
Mehmet will be sending others soon enough. War will come. You can't protect us.
Vlad stares off at Broken Tooth Mountain.
I'll find a way.
He mounts a horse.
Vlad, where are you going?
Whatever horns Broken Tooth. I know it kills Turks.
The horse gallops furiously down the long dirt road to Broken Tooth Mountain. Later, Vlad scales the jagged face of the mountain under a stormy sky. He makes his way up a steep cliff and climbs to his feet on a rocky landing. Catching his breath, Vlad stares warily at the cave's entrance. Later, a tarantula crawls in the warm light of Vlad's torch. He holds the flame low as he carefully enters the cave, past layers of skeletal remains covered in cobwebs. Vlad makes his way deeper into the cave and into a wide, dark area littered with skulls and bones. With his sword in one hand and the torch in the other, Vlad studies the cave. From a distance, our view now pulses behind Vlad. His figure glows in the darkness with each beat of his heart.
You're in town.
Vlad swings his torch around and stares intently in the opposite direction.
No one has ever.
Vlad looks to the piles of remains.
Seems no one has ever had the privilege of leaving, either.
His torch goes out.
Neither.
He drops it and pulls up his sword. Vlad slices through the air wildly. He turns on his heel and swipes again at the phantom noise. Vlad spins and faces a pale creature with a man's face. He startles back and raises his sword. The creature calmly moves it aside. He taps his long nails down the length of the blade. The men trade stares. The cave dweller waves the sword to the ground. He leans in close, inches from the prince's face. Vlad stands motionless as the monster moves even closer.
Those who enter reek of fear. And you, a sense of hope.
The monster stares into Vlad's eyes, then steps away and prowls behind the prince.
The silver offense may cloak it from my sight.
Vlad glances down to his ring, then slips his hand beneath his long red cape.
What kind of man crawls into his own grave in search of hope,
A desperate one.
The Turks threaten to destroy my kingdom. A power like yours, I could stop them. Save my people. Save my family.
How supremely noble, Lord Impaler. House Dracul, son of the devil.
You're mistaken. It means son of the dragon, protector of the innocent.
Do your people know how many innocents you have killed? Was it hundreds?
Yes.
The monster grabs Vlad by the throat and slams him into a rocky wall.
Lie to me again, and I'll open you from your belly to your brain and feed you your intestines.
Thousands.
And when you put them to the stake, what did you feel? Shame? Horror? Power? Answer me!
Nothing. I felt nothing. No greater crime than the act itself.
Then why spill blood if not for the pleasure of it?
Because men do not fear swords. They fear monsters. They run from them. By putting one village to the stake, I spared 10 more. Sometimes the world no longer needs a hero. Sometimes what it needs is a monster.
And you believe you know what it is to be a monster,
He tightens his grip on Vlad's neck, then drags a sharp nail along his throat, slicing it open. The monster's pupils glow red. He opens his mouth and stretches his jaw, showing a row of sharp teeth. His long, freakish tongue slithers out to Vlad's neck and licks his wound. Slime drips from the tongue as it makes its way back into the monster's mouth. He grins, then moves in closer.
You have no idea. But I'm going to show you.
The monster steps away.
For centuries, these moldering walls have been my gallows. And I'm bound to this cave, condemned by one who turned me. Oh, and I have waited an eternity for a man of your strength, your gifts, your will. A man worthy of the dark and all its powers.
He shatters a skull on a rock.
For if I am your salvation, you are mine.
He brings his own wrist up to his mouth and bites. Vlad winces as dark blood pours from the creature's arm into the shallow split skull.
Drink. You will have a taste of my power. The strength of 100 men. The speed of a falling star. Dominion over the night and all its creatures. To see and hear through their senses. Even heal grievous wounds.
At what price?
Once you drink. Your thirst for human blood will be insatiable. But if you can resist for 3 days, you will return to your mortal state, having sampled my power and perhaps saved your people.
And if I feed?
The price would be worse than if you'd never stepped in here. For I will be set free. Having granted the darkness a worthy offering, you will become its vessel as I am. A scourge on this earth, destined to destroy everything you hold dear. Your land, your people, even your precious wife and son.
I would die before I harm them.
Indeed you will, I'm afraid. I, however, will at last be free to unleash my wrath against the one who betrayed me. And one day, I will call on you to serve me, my pawn, in an immortal game of revenge.
This is not a game!
Oh. What better way to endure eternity? For this, little prince, is the ultimate game.
The ghoul holds the skull.
Light versus dark. Hope versus despair. And all the world's fate hangs in the balance.
And it will be my great pleasure to disappoint you.
Drink.
Vlad looks down at the pool of blood in the skull.
Let the games begin.
His eyes dart about, then look up at the red-eyed monster. The prince brings the skull to his mouth and drinks. Vlad finishes and tosses the skull aside. The pale cave dweller stands with his eyes closed.
What now?
Now? You die.
The monster walks away. Dark blood drips from Vlad's lips as he collapses to the floor. Our view blurs and distorts as Vlad closes his eyes. Cut to black. A pale hand swipes a tiny flame. Mirena kneels in a colorful garden. Ingeris grimaces. Insects crawl. Swirling clouds obscure the sun. A village burns. Rows of sharp teeth slam shut. Vlad awakens on a rock in a shallow stream. Struggling to catch his breath, he brings his hand up. The silver ring burns at his finger. He rolls over and slides the ring off. Pushing himself to his feet, he crushes a rock beneath his hand. He falls into the stream, then looks at his bleeding palm. The wound heals itself.
That's useful.
Vlad rises to his feet and brings his sword to his hip. He glances around at the dark woods. He focuses his attention farther downstream. In the distance, a spider wraps an insect in webbing. Our view travels from Vlad's ear to his eyes as he stares in awe at the entrapment. He spins around toward the forest, then crouches low and stares. Vlad's pupils glow a faint red as he focuses his gaze. We see through his pulsating view. Various animals glow in the darkness. Their forms pulse steadily with their beating hearts. Vlad lifts his gaze. The dusky clouds dissolve to reveal a starry sky, which slowly fades to reveal a distant galaxy. Vlad smiles. He looks to the stream curiously, then pulls the ring from the water. As it sizzles in his fingers, he slides it through a chain and loops it around his neck. Vlad spots an explosive glow reflecting off the clouds in the distance. He sprints through the forest down a dirt path. His run turns into an awkward stumble. Vlad's form shifts into a colony of bats. The cluster soars up, then lands, reforming into the man. He takes off again, shifting back into the colony. Their dark cloud soars over the hills toward the cannon fire. Turkish soldiers fire massive cannons on Castle Dracula. In the smoky haze, debris rains down on fleeing Transylvanians. Vlad strides into a wide hall crowded with people. Through the crowd, Mirena spots her husband. They rush to each other and kiss passionately.
He came back.
I always will.
Where were you?
Searching for the strength I needed.
You're back.
Ingeris runs to his father. Vlad hugs him closely, then nods to Dimitru. The prince crosses to a staircase overlooking the crowd of people.
Sons, a good prince would have given them up. A good prince would have paid that price for peace. But I give you my word, we will not be defeated. They brought war to our land, and they will pay dearly for it.
Turkish soldiers light a cannon. Our view hurtles through the air toward Castle Dracula. We tear through smoke and debris at immense speed, then crash through stone and wreckage. As the smoke clears, Vlad steps through the castle's front gate and scowls toward the invaders. A commander directs the army toward the castle. Vlad's eyes glow red as he surveys the charge. We share his pulsing view as we fly through the rows of soldiers. Vlad closes his hand into a fist and walks toward the onslaught. As the massive army approaches, Vlad carries no weapons as he walks calmly through the battlefield. The front line rapidly approaches, and Vlad begins to jog to meet the challenge. Each side picks up speed and prepares for battle. The Turkish forces rush in on Vlad, who sprints through them, knocking down soldier after soldier. He throws punches and tosses the Turks into the air. The soldiers begin to rally around Vlad. He swiftly dodges swords and spears, then tosses a man into the air. The Transylvanian prince transforms into a bat colony and flies through the army. Shifting back into Vlad, he tackles a soldier and uses him as a human shield, mowing down Turks with his body. He kills a soldier, then uses his sword to take down several more in one fluid, bloody motion. A soldier rushes to Vlad with his sword. The prince bends his own blade around the soldier's, then kills him. The battle continues as Vlad takes down dozens more Turks with a blade. Vlad uses a bannerman's flagpole to fend off a horde of soldiers circling around him. He takes down several men, then impales a Turk through the stomach. More soldiers rush to battle Vlad, and he knocks them down easily. He throws a large sword into a soldier. The blade sticks out perpendicular to the man's chest. As he falls, we see the tumbling soldier's view of the blade's reflection, where bats cluster around several soldiers, then fly off. Vlad stabs a soldier, then slices through many more. Vlad grabs the sword from the impaled soldier and strides further into the army. Our view travels up to the moon and becomes hazy and dim before a soldier flies through the air at us, making the image go dark. Later, Vlad stands in the center of the slain army. Hundreds of bodies litter the smoky battlefield in every direction. The prince turns and marches through the bodies toward his castle. Transylvanian men in armor rush toward the edge of the battlefield to greet Vlad. They spot him approaching across the field. The soldiers exchange stunned looks. Dimitru stares in awe at the blood-stained prince.
Negotiations failed.
Do not ask me what happened on this field tonight. Trust only that I will use all I have to keep us safe.
But we will not be safe if we stay here. We must leave directly for Kozia Monastery. It's high in the mountains, too remote for cannon fire. It's our best chance of survival. We'll take enough of our people so that our absence is noticed. That way, when Mehmet learns what has happened here, he'll come hunting for us.
At the Turk camp.
Word from Castle Dracula. Vlad has defeated 1,000 of our men.
Then send 100,000. I will lead them.
When I march into Europe, I will have his head upon my spear, and his child at my side.
Now in a mountain pass.
We can fight the way our great-grandfathers fought. Use the forests, the mountains around the Borgo Pass. 4 or 5 months of that.
Not months. I'm gonna win this war in 3 days.
Why not two? That'd really impress us.
Long battle pig.
Now Vlad's men roast a pig over a campfire. The prince sits with them, toying with his silver ring. He watches his warriors hungrily eating the meat. Fleeing from the feast, he enters a lamp-lit tent. Sweat glistens on his face, and he runs his hand over his mouth. He sits beside Mirena, who watches him with concern. She approaches him tenderly, and they begin to kiss. He removes his tunic, and they continue to kiss. He lays her back and climbs on top of her. She runs her hands across his back, which now bears no scars. She gives him a curious look. Vlad stops, noticing a vein pulsating in Mirena's neck beneath the skin. We view the creature in the cave. Fangs protrude in Vlad's open mouth. A tear rolls down Mirena's cheek. He leaps to his feet.
What is it?
I need some air. I'm sorry.
Vlad rushes from the tent. His wife bears a perplexed expression. Deep in the woods, Vlad runs through a puddle. He stops and looks around. He casts a glance over his shoulder at the raggedy man in the cap.
Don't think I haven't noticed you following me.
You're mistaken. I follow them.
Bats fly overhead.
They recognize one of their own. The night is their kingdom. Blood, their sustenance. And some may say, have lived for as long as there have been prey to devour.
Spare me your ravings.
The raggedy man reveals a knife.
They say the one who escaped the mountain hides behind the face of a man.
Well, if that man is me, you'll know a knife will not do you any good.
Of course not.
He flips his knife in the air, catching it by the blade.
Why do you think I stayed?
He grips the blade, pooling his blood into a cup.
I know there is only so far on this earth we can run. And it is not far enough.
He offers Vlad the cup.
Let me serve you.
The prince furrows his brow. He knocks the cup from the man's grasp. He lifts the frightened man and pins him to a tree.
Stay away from me.
He lets go of the man and steps away.
Yes, master.
The raggedy man scurries away, leaving Vlad behind. On the forest floor, the blood oozes from the cup into the soil. The prince falls to his knees and reaches toward the blood-stained earth. Trembling, he clutches his ring. Daytime. Mehmed's army marches. The Sultan dismounts a horse.
We found him in the field. He asked for you.
A Turkish soldier sits propped against a wooden wheel.
A message from Prince Vlad. He hopes you enjoyed the view.
Smoke billows among hundreds of men impaled on pikes. Mehmed's eyes glisten, and he works his mouth. In Vlad's tent, Mirena stirs awake. She lifts her head from the pillow and spots a figure trembling beneath a cloak. The young woman gets up from bed and approaches. She removes the cloak, revealing Vlad's unscarred back. The woman touches him cautiously, then turns him over. The silver ring around his neck burns into the skin on his chest. Mirena holds it in her hand, then snatches the chain from his neck. He sits up.
Your scars are gone. What's happening to you?
I'm the thing men fear on Broken Tooth. Not a ghost. Something else.
Vlad takes a knife and slashes a rift in the tent. Sunlight beams through, searing his flesh. She pulls him from the light.
No, stop it! May God strike down whoever did this to you.
I chose this.
This is the strength you sought? Why?
Because I sent corpses back to Mehmet. Instead of our son.
You did this for us.
In 2 days, I'll be restored. I just have to resist.
Resist what? Resist what, Vlad? Tell me.
A thirst. For blood.
Mirena turns away from him.
And if you were to give in?
Then I become this for eternity.
You will not do this, won't you?
Yes. I swear it. I will not give in.
Then God will forgive you.
Dimitru stands outside the tent.
Vlad. Mehmet is getting closer. We might want to move out soon.
I need you to get to the monastery as quickly as you can. Mehmet's men will be close behind. Listen to me. I will reach you after sundown. I promise you.
She lowers the ring into his hand, sizzling his palm.
I love you.
She goes. Outside, water douses the campfire. The men prepare to leave. Dimitru sheathes his blade. Mirena leaves the tent. She approaches him beside his horse.
My husband agrees with your counsel. We will depart now under your temporary command.
What? Where's Vlad going to be?
Spying on the Turks. He insists on doing his own reconnaissance.
No, I won't have it.
It's too late. He's already gone.
The warrior considers.
All right, everyone. Prepare to move out.
An aerial view of the camp shifts toward the monastery in the distance. The Transylvanian warriors walk in single file across the terrain. Nearby, Turkish scouts overlook the travelers. The blue-eyed Turk turns to the others.
Tell the Sultan where his enemies will be buried.
A scout attaches a note to a messenger bird and releases it into the sky. Inside Vlad's tent, the prince spots a swath of sunlight on the floor. The sun sets. At night, bats swarm from the tent. In the forest, Mirena and Ingeris walk with the other Transylvanians.
Listen. We're nearly there.
Led by torchlight, the travelers walk through the dark woods. Waiting nearby, the blue-eyed Turk spots the Transylvanians. The Turkish soldiers attack. As Vlad's men fight back, the blue-eyed Turk slaughters man after man with his dual curved blades. Dimitru trades steel blows with three enemies. Cutting them all down, he hurries on. Now we peer through Vlad's familiar ghostly view as we travel through the forest. A storm of bats engulfs a soldier. Nearby, the blue-eyed Turk continues to dominate. He spots Dimitru running with Ingeris and Mirena.
Can these monks build the gate a little bit closer?
Dimitru discovers their path blocked by a cliff. The blue-eyed Turk approaches, twirling his blades. Ingeris clings to his mother.
Stay behind me.
A Turkish soldier slays two enemies. We view the forest through Vlad's ghostly perspective. A swarm of bats attacks the soldier. Blood sprays on a cage of birds. The bats move on. Dimitru and the blue-eyed Turk trade blows.
Don't the Turks teach you anything new? I saw your blade coming.
Dimitru collapses. The Turk warrior turns his gaze on Vlad's family.
Ingeris, run.
Where is your prince now? My lady.
Bats rush toward him. The blue-eyed Turk swings wildly at them as they zoom past. He looks for them in all directions. Among the trees, he spots a torch. The bats swarm him again and again. He spins to meet their attacks, then steps backward to the edge of the cliff. Vlad materializes, baring his fangs and frightening the blue-eyed Turk over the cliff. Nearby, Dimitru writhes in pain. He tries to crawl away.
Dimitru, it's okay.
Vlad leans over his frightened friend.
It's okay. Dimitru, listen. Listen.
Vlad's eyes dart across Dimitru's face as the fallen man goes still. Vlad's face tenses with emotion. He removes his blood-stained hand from his friend's torso. He rushes to Ingeris. He lifts the boy into his arms.
Never leave us again, Papa.
Never. I will always watch over you.
Mirena joins their familial embrace. The surviving Transylvanians rush into the monastery.
Keep moving along! This way!
At the battlefield, the blue-eyed Turk dangles from the face of the cliff. The soldier begins to pull himself to safety. Later, Vlad enters the monastery. His advisor approaches him.
You should never have strayed from us. Whatever your reasons for leaving.
Quiet.
Vlad surveys his people kneeled in prayer.
Get these men off their knees.
Stand up, you hear me? Stand up! The Turks are coming. Prayers will not defend these walls.
In an armory, flame-lit blades shimmer. Vlad and others step inside.
You believe we can do this? Emmett's men will be coming from the north. Double our sentries on the perimeter walls. Go. Do it now.
What's in there?
Ingeris spots a closed door.
Something I hope to never use again. Come now.
Vlad's gaze focuses on the door. Shadows flicker on the room's stone walls. At the Turkish camp.
The men say that Vlad has become a monster. I fear this will only inflame the rumors of the prince's dark magic.
Only if we allow it.
Men cannot fear what they cannot see.
Mehmed stares at the blood-splattered birds. Now the Turkish army marches blindfolded.
Remember when you first joined my army? You wanted to pick up your sword and fight. When my generals blindfolded you, you did not believe that you could march without seeing. But you could.
Now march with me. Your sultan will guide you.
Hundreds of Turkish soldiers march as the sun rises. At the monastery, the monk notices Vlad stepping into a courtyard. Nearing direct sunlight, the prince hesitates. The monk watches him curiously. The two men meet eyes, and Vlad feigns a pleasant nod before retreating to the shadows. The monk pursues the prince, who steps into a building. In a blacksmith's workshop, Vlad maneuvers around the small rays of daylight breaching the stone room.
The vampire is vulnerable to daylight.
Stepping into the workshop, the monk reveals a sword.
And to pure silver.
He approaches the prince with a glimmering blade. Vlad spots a cross hanging from the holy man's neck.
Yet the holy cross exerts no power over you. That can only mean you have yet to seal your fate with human blood. Let me kill you now, my prince. Please, before your people do. Rumor has spread of what you have become. You can still repent. You do well to run, Lucian.
The monk slashes a gaping hole in a curtain behind him. The sunlight fries the skin on Vlad's face. Mirena runs toward a torch-wielding mob outside the workshop. Soldiers set fire to the workshop. As the fire grows, black smoke billows, blocking out the sun. Ingeris and others watch the workshop burn. Mirena guides her son toward another woman.
Take him to my room and shut the door. Do not let him look outside.
Okay. Mama!
The woman takes Ingeris away. Mirena turns back toward the fire. Vlad emerges from the inferno. From a nearby ledge, Ingeris and the woman watch the scene below. With his face badly burned, the prince glares at his countrymen.
This is your loyalty, your gratitude. Fools. Do you think you are alive because you can fight?
Vlad rips a wooden plank from the smoldering building.
You are alive! Because of me!
Lucien steps back. Mirena walks toward her husband.
Because of what I did to save you!
Vlad's face shows signs of healing. Mirena gently touches her husband's chest. The prince lowers his head.
This is not who you are.
Vlad glumly scans the area. He spots his trembling son. Vlad tosses down the hunk of wood.
Return to your stations. Believe me, there is still more to fear.
In a candlelit chapel, Vlad kneels alone.
Lord, if you've not yet forsaken me, grant me your strength that I may resist the darkness. Allow me to endure this test one more day. I beg you. Please.
With his face fully healed, the prince hangs his head. He turns to the rear of the chapel and finds Ingeris standing there. The boy slowly approaches his father.
Are you sick? If you're sick, thought it might make you feel better.
Ingeris hands his father bread wrapped in cloth. The prince stares at his son with loving eyes.
Thank you. Come.
Ingeris sits down next to his father. Vlad breaks off a piece of bread for the boy.
You'll make a great leader someday. You think of others before yourself.
When the Turks came to take me, stop them. That's why you got sick, isn't it? Save me.
Yes. And I would do it all again.
Ingeris embraces his father. The man kisses the top of the boy's head. At night, Mirena overlooks the mountains from a balcony. Vlad enters and stands behind his wife. She remains facing outside. Vlad's eyes glow red as his ghostly gaze scans the landscape. The prince spots the Turks, red blood glowing in each of their chests.
They're almost here.
Dawn will be breaking soon, and with it the loss of my powers. If we've not won this war by then...
I will fight beside you until death.
Your death would end my fight.
We have done the duty of any good parent. Protected our child. Protected all the children in the kingdom.
Perhaps our destiny was not to rule in this life.
Do you remember our wedding vow? Why think separately of this life and the next?
When one is born from the last.
Time is always too short for those who need it. But for those who love, it lasts forever.
Vlad kisses her forehead and they embrace. The Turkish army marches in a valley toward the mountaintop monastery. Vlad's soldiers clear a path for the prince as he walks along the battlement. They stare at him with impassive expressions. His breath forming a mist, the prince lays his hands upon the stone and gazes out. In the distance, the torches of marching Turkish soldiers form pinpricks of light. A bat flaps past and up a stone spire. It circles the top with its brethren. Vlad watches the colony with parted lips. Now he walks beneath the bats on the tower as they fly in and out of windows. Some perch on the stone above him. A cluster of the creatures hangs from an archway. Vlad lifts his hand toward them, and they spread their wings. Now a Turk leads a party of soldiers up the rocky cliff. They stop to watch bats fly overhead toward the monastery. In the canyon, a dark cloud of bats flies in a swarm over the marching soldiers. The blindfolded army faces straight ahead, marching to the beat of their drummers. The bats begin forming a cyclone over the distant monastery. Through a doorway, Ingeris and Mirena watch the swarm in wide-eyed amazement. The mother takes her son's hand, and they share a glance. On the spire, Vlad stands at the center of a massive tornado of bats. He moves his hand like a conductor as he scans the Turkish troops. With his magnified vision, he spots Mehmet atop his horse. The prince shoots a hand toward the sky, and the bats sweep out from the spire in a thick column. He spreads his fingers, and the swarm forms a shape like an outstretched hand. Vlad lowers his hand to his waist, then thrusts it forward. The swarm tears through the Turkish ranks, sending soldiers flying in its wake. Countless bats fly over and around them, clinging to their faces and necks. The prince twists his hand, and the swarm flies straight up. Cords of bats swirl around each other to form a dense pillar. Vlad closes his fingers into a fist, and the top of the pillar grows thicker. Vlad brings his fist to the floor, cracking the stone. Simultaneously, the bats crash into the Turkish formation. The prince scowls, then runs off the side of the spire. He transforms into a cloud of bats. The Transylvanian forces fire flaming arrows from the monastery walls. Our view spirals behind Vlad in bat form as he flies through the Turkish soldiers, knocking them into the air as he goes. He swarms Mehmed's horse, knocking the armored man to the ground. In a swirl of flapping wings, Vlad takes human form on the battlefield. He glances at the toppled man writhing in the dirt, covered in bats. He raises a clawed hand to strike his foe, but another man wears Mehmed's armor.
Where is he?
Where is he?
On the monastery battlements, Turkish assassins sneak behind the line of archers. They enter Mirena's room, and her guard draws his sword. An assassin stabs the guard. The assassin drops the guard to the floor as Mirena and Ingeris run from the room. On the battlefield, Vlad notices the sun beginning to rise. Mirena and Ingeris step out onto the spire's empty balcony.
Where is he?
As they look over the edge, the assassins appear behind them.
You can keep running if you like.
The mother and son back away, closer to the edge. On the battlefield, Mehmet approaches Vlad. An assassin punches Mirena in the stomach and kicks her over the edge.
Let me go!
She clings to the stone by her fingertips.
Mirena.
Vlad transforms into a bat swarm and flies to the monastery. The bat swarm flaps through the canyon toward Vlad's family. Mirena tries to climb over the ledge. The stones under her fingers begin to give way. An assassin inches closer to her as she struggles. Vlad's bat swarm slams into the Turk, sending him flying over the edge. The sun peeks over the mountains. As he returns to human form, the prince sees the stones give way. Mirena falls. Vlad jumps over the side. With his lower half comprised of a trail of bats, he reaches for his wife as she plummets. Vlad's mouth opens, revealing long white fangs. Mirena falls with arms outstretched, staring up into his eyes. Vlad reaches down toward her. Seated on horseback behind Mehmet, Ingeris watches, sobbing as his parents approach the ground. Without blindfolds, the Turkish forces turn in unison and march away from the battlefield. Countless bodies lie scattered over the dark earth. Bats fly into Vlad as he regains human form. Among the rocks, he holds a limp Mirena in his arms. He rubs her cheek with his hand. Turkish forces run into the burning monastery, cutting down guards and commoners. A sobbing woman sits with her back to a staircase, terrified. Vlad stares into his wife's eyes. She begins to stir, and he smiles down at her. Above them, the sun rises further into view.
There's still time for you to stop that. Drink my blood.
No. I cannot take your life.
My life is lost already. But our son's is not.
The weeping prince takes his wife's hand.
I love you.
A tear rolls down her cheek.
Do it now.
In his cave, the ancient vampire turns. Mirena clutches Vlad's arm. The prince watches a vein pulse in his wife's neck. The monster unfurls a clawed hand.
Do it now.
Vlad raises his head, and his teeth grow into fangs. He lowers his face to Mirena's neck. The cave dweller walks toward a shaft of sunlight. Mirena's hand clutches her husband's shoulder as the monster steps toward the cave's entrance. Vlad lifts his blood-stained face, now transformed to resemble his maker's. Dark clouds close over the sun. The ancient vampire steps into the dim light outside. Vlad doubles over. Mirena's grip loosens, and her arm falls to the ground. A slight smile spreads across the cave dweller's face. Vlad throws his head back. He stares toward the sky, his face twisted in anguish. At the monastery, Vlad walks down a windswept path. He finds his family's injured guard crumpled against the stone wall. The guard meets his gaze.
Do you want vengeance?
The broken guard nods weakly. Vlad raises his own wrist to his mouth.
Drink.
Blood spills onto the guard's lips. The bearded man pulls Vlad's wrist to his mouth and drinks. His eyes go wide, and his brow furrows. The prince pulls his wrist away. He turns to see the sobbing woman against the staircase and his bleeding, gray-haired advisor propped near a water wheel. Other subjects stare at him grimly. Now Vlad marches through the flooded armory toward the large, reinforced door. Inside, he finds his old set of armor, a sculpted red dragon dominating the breastplate.
I now know hell is real. So I know there's a heaven.
A Turk sharpens his sword at the enemy camp.
Neither this world or the next shall keep us apart. I will honor your sacrifice, and I vow that our son shall be safe.
The armor-clad prince stares down at his wife's body lying on a bed of flowers. Now Mehmed stands at the Turkish camp.
Of all my lands, this is the one I love the least.
A white-bearded officer gazes at the horizon.
Look to the east. The sun should be risen by now, should it not?
Between the mountains in the distance, dark storm clouds hang low to the ground. Flashes of lightning burst within the roiling storm. The Turkish soldiers watch fearfully.
What is that?
A dark figure marches ahead of the storm.
It is the prince. He is coming.
Vlad steps into view wearing his red dragon armor. He scowls, baring his fangs. Turkish soldiers run between their tents as swarms of bats fly like comets from the clouds. One transforms into the family guard, who grabs a Turk and bites his neck. The weeping woman from the monastery now walks confidently through the throng. A soldier slashes at her, but his sword flies harmlessly through her transformed bat form. She claws his face and bites his neck. Mehmed nods to his officers. Soldiers hand out spears. A vampire slashes a Turk with his claw-like fingertips. The formerly weeping woman raises her bloody mouth from her victim. The white-bearded officer stumbles into a dark tent. Bearing fangs, Vlad's advisor grabs him.
I used to think there were too many of you. Now there's not enough.
Outside, the blue-eyed Turk stabs a vampire in the stomach and slices another. He spots Vlad approaching, but the prince disappears. The prince reappears, inches away. He stabs the blue-eyed Turk with his own sword and walks away. The soldier stands, clutching at the blade in his chest. A young vampire scowls at him with red eyes, then lunges. Vlad walks through the camp until he finds Mehmed's black and gold tent. The prince charges through the flaps. He scans the room and spots an armored Mehmed holding a shimmering silver sword. The Sultan stands among mounds of silver coins. Wearing leather boots, the prince steps across the coins.
I understand you have a weakness for silver.
Mehmed slashes a bag and coins shower down. He tosses one to Vlad. The prince catches the coin, and it smokes in his hand.
Papa!
Ingara sits in a corner.
He is waiting for you.
The Sultan points his sword at Vlad, who circles slowly behind a decorative screen, staring Mehmed down. The prince draws his blade. The gold-armored Turk strikes a defensive stance. Vlad glances at the silver coins around his feet. Mehmed smirks. The young boy watches the enemy's battle.
You are slower, brother, and weaker.
The Sultan kicks Vlad, then headbutts him. The vampire falls to his knees, but turns and blocks a slash from Mehmed. Their blades spark together. With a punch, the Sultan sends Vlad's face to the coins.
Oh. Go on, take it.
The prince fumbles for his sword.
Is this the monster that terrified my men?
Vlad stumbles behind a screen.
You grow more weary by the moment.
Tell me, how long can you bear it in here, huh?
Vlad shares a glance with his son.
Long enough to strike your name from the history books.
The prince charges. Nemeth sends a spray of coins into the air. The foes spin and twirl as they clash swords. Vlad pierces a hanging bag and recoils from the falling coins. The Sultan slashes bag after bag, and Vlad makes a fanged grimace in the shower of silver. The Turk pins the prince to a screen and punches his chin. With a kick, he sends the vampire crashing into a coin box. Silver pours around Vlad's head. Rope binds his son's wrists.
Take a last look at your father, Ingris.
No!
Look how pathetic he is.
No, stop! Please!
Vlad's face smokes. Mehmed rips a shard from the broken box.
If I put a stake through your heart...
Ingris pulls at his bonds.
It'll kill you!
Like any other man. A fitting death. The Lord.
No!
Impaler!
No!
Vlad grabs the stake before it reaches his chest. Particles of his armor begin to dissolve under the wooden point. The Sultan struggles to drive in the stake against the vampire's grip. Vlad glances at his son, then transforms into a bat swarm. He stabs the Turk.
That is no longer my name. My name is Dracula. Son of the devil.
He bites the Sultan's neck. Ingris looks on wide-eyed as they fall to the floor. Vlad's face goes pale, and monstrous red scars begin to form. He pulls his face away, baring his fangs. His skin returns to normal. He tosses the Sultan's limp body onto the bed of silver. Now, outside the tent, Vlad comforts his son.
It's all right. I'm here.
The prince guides his crying son through the misty camp. Bodies litter the ground, and the air glows blue. A vampire woman raises her head and stares up at Vlad and Ingris as they pass. Vampires roam among the Turkish bodies, feeding on them. Vlad's advisor approaches.
You old goat.
I don't feel old.
A trickle of blood runs from the man's lips.
How many are left?
None. Except for your son, of course. A distraction we can now dispense with.
Vlad turns to see vampires surrounding him.
What have I taught you? Repeat it over and over since you were a boy. All that matters is a prince's duty to his people. Don't you realize? They're all our enemies now. When he's gone, you'll be free.
The older man lunges, but Vlad stabs him with a flagpole.
You forget who I am.
The advisor's eyes flash red, and the prince lifts his impaled body. Vlad plants the pole in the ground, and the evil vampire's flesh explodes in plumes of blood, leaving behind an emaciated corpse. The prince pulls his son close. Ingris stares in horror as the remaining vampires encircle them with sinister gazes. The family guard bares his fangs, and Vlad backs away. He turns his head to see Lucien approaching. The monk holds a glowing cross.
Leave him.
A bright white light sends the vampires recoiling in pain.
Come with me, child.
Lucien motions for the boy.
Please.
Ingris turns to his father with a pleading look.
Stop. Please. Please, you must come.
Vlad furrows his brow at the monk.
I don't want to leave you.
You have to go with him.
No!
Do not leave his side. Just know I will always love you. Always.
He kisses his son on the head, then hugs him tightly.
Go!
No.
Vlad hands the boy to Lucien.
Go!
No!
You take care of him.
The monk nods. Ingeris stretches his arms to his father as Lucien drags him away. The vampires encircle the prince. Tearfully, Vlad looks to the sky.
He's safe now, Marina.
He closes his eyes and spreads his arms. The storm clouds begin to part, sending shafts of sunlight across the Turkish camp. The vampires burn and dissolve in plumes of blood and flesh. The formerly weeping woman falls to her knees and screams as she burns. One vampire disintegrates as he runs, his body disappearing before he falls to the ground. Vlad's hair burns away, and he stands with gray, smoking skin. He turns to watch Lucien drag his weeping son away. With arms outstretched, the boy screams for his father. With red-ringed, glistening eyes in his ashen face, the prince stares at his boy. Vlad turns to face the sun, and his flesh burns away. He collapses in a pile of ash. Now Ingeris's feet dangle above the floor as he sits on a throne.
Turks never conquered the capitals of Europe.
An elder places a gold crown on the boy's head. His subjects bow.
Prince Vlad Dracula was a hero.
A blacksmith melts the silver coins.
But there are no pictures or statues of him.
At the camp, the raggedy man in the cap pulls Vlad's corpse into a tent.
I am his legacy. His sacrifice taught me that even after the darkest night, the sun will rise again.
Drink, master.
The raggedy man drips blood onto Vlad's lips.
For if the heart is strong enough,
Vlad's eyes open.
The soul is reborn with each new day. In life after life, age after age.
Now skyscrapers tower over a church.
Forever.
In a sleek black coat, Vlad strolls through a modern open-air market. He passes a flower stand and stops. He turns to find a short-haired woman who looks exactly like Mirena. Vlad stares at her as he approaches.
Beautiful.
She turns to him. He glances down.
The flowers, my lady.
My lady? Where are you from?
A long way from here.
They share a smile. Vlad gazes at her intensely. She moves to leave.
Well, good night.
I think separately of this life and the next. When one is born from the last.
She stops. A surprised smile spreads across her face, and she turns back to him.
It's my favorite poem.
It speaks to you of yearning, of one soul pleading for another.
He steps closer to her, and they lock eyes.
I'm Mina.
Wearing leather gloves, he kisses her hand.
Vlad.
She stares up at him, and he grins. Nearby, clawed fingertips tap on a wooden table. The cave-dwelling vampire, now appearing as an elegant older man in a suit, sits watching. Vlad and Mina walk together through the market, sharing warm smiles. The ancient vampire stands, buttons his suit coat, and follows them.
Let the games begin.
Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Gary Shore. Screenplay by Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless. Produced by Michael DeLuca, PGA. Executive producers Alyssa Phillips, Joe Caracciolo Jr. Executive producers Thomas Tull, John Jashny. Director of Photography, John Schwartzman, ASC. Production designer, Francois Houdet. Edited by Richard Pearson, ACE. Luke Evans. Dominic Cooper. Sarah Gadon. Art Parkinson. And Charles Dance. Jeremaid Murtaugh, Ronan Vibert, William Houston. Ferdinand Kingsley, Zach McGowan, Paul Kay. Thor Christensen, Arki Reis. Music by Ramin Javedi. Costume designer, Nyla Dixon. Casting by John Hubbard, CSA, CDG. Roz Hubbard, CSA, CDG. Visual effects supervisor, Christian Manns. A Universal Pictures and Legendary Pictures presentation. A Michael DeLuca production. Credits roll. Unit production manager, Joe Caracciolo. First Assistant Director, John Wildermuth. Unit Production Manager, Joe Byrne. Second Assistant Director, Samantha Smith. Cast, Luke Evans as Vlad. Sarah Gadon as Mirena. Dominic Cooper as Mehmed. Art Parkinson as Ingeris. Charles Dance as Master Vampire. Diarmaid Murtaugh as Dimitru. Paul Kay as Brother Lucian. William Houston as Kazan. Noah Huntley as Captain Petru. Ronan Vibert as Simeon. Zach McGowan as Shkelgim. Ferdinand Kingsley as Hamza Bey. Joseph Long as General Omer. Thor Christensen as Bright Eyes. Jacob Gierzal as Asami. Joe Benjamin as Mihai. Paul Bullion as Nikolai. Mish Boyko as Andre. Dylan Gwynn as Governess. Arki Reis as General Ismail. Phil Zimmerman as Mihai's father. Dominic Borelli as Wealthy Boyar. Tom Benedict Knight as Turkish General, Paul Kassar as Intrigued Boyar, Stavros Demetraki as Mehmed's Adjutant, Ruth Baxter, Rachel Kennedy, Louise Parker as Mirena's Handmaidens, Glenn Berry, Shane McCaffrey, Gary Whelan as Lucian's Monks, Guillaume Mayot as Murr's Adjutant, John Friel, Jason Coulter, Andrew Laverty, Colin Curran as Vlad's Castle Guards, Matthew Ackerfeld, Andrew McQuaid, Eugene Furphy, Chris Cherry, Ross Moneypenny, Bobby Marno, Connor Schelling-Tizza, Joe Kelly, Graham Hutton, Phil McKeague, Darren McMullen, Chris Keenan as Vlad's soldiers, Paul Monahan, Norman Coates, Paul Cavanaugh, Tyrone Kearns, Gordon Bell, Graham Cave, Arthur Hallegy, Derek Main, Al Geddes, Gavin McCormick, Xander Duffy, Jeffrey O'Brien as Boyar Men. Greta Shore, Charlene Gleason, Orlaith Shore, Penelope Simmons, Anne-Louise Bresnahan, Anne O'Connor as Ladies of the Court, Adon McGowan, Hunter Boland, Maria Laird as Children of the Court, Stunt Coordinator Buster Reeves, Fight Trainer Vincent Wang, Stunts John Street, Marlo Warrington Matei, Rob Cooper, Richard Hansen, Ashley Beck, James Embry, Andy Lister, Liang Yang, Ray Nicholas, Heather Phillips, Lyndon Helliwell, Luke Kearney, Steen Young, Chris Pollard, Pete Ford, Marcus Shakeshef, Aaron Topham, Mark Stanton Kelly, Hassett Zavani, Gary Kane, Lawrence Hansen, Adam Young, George Kirby, Richard Wielden, Alistair Witten, Andy Merchant, Donna Williams, Belinda McGinley, Annabelle Wood, Martin Gores, Thomas Kurzmianiecki, Gunter Andreas Schmidtke, Neil Chapelhow, Matt Hermiston, Helen Bailey, Head Riggers, Kevin Lyons, Wolfgang Stegman, Visual Effects Producer, Fiona Campbell Westgate, Production Supervisor, Jessica Durhammer, Supervising Art Director, Paul Inglis, Art Directors, David Doran, Heather Greenlees, Michael Turner, Assistant Art Directors, Amanda Daisley, Joe Finkel, Standby Art Director, Laura Ng, Art Department Coordinator, Kirsty Vogel, Storyboard Artists, Stephen Forrest-Smith, David Alcock, Simon Durek, John Coven, Douglas Ingram, William Simpson, Concept Artists, Igor Alban Chevalier, Ravi Bansal, Rob Bliss, Tim Browning, Luigi Marchioni, Dermot Power, Norman Walsh. Soundtrack on Backlot Music. This motion picture used sustainability strategies to reduce its carbon emissions and environmental impact. Green is universal. Copyright 2014 Universal Studios and Legendary Pictures Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 2013 Universal Studios. Universal Studios and Legendary Pictures are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures, read by Adrienne Barbeau. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. In a logo, a sparkling city skyline gives way to the image of a boy sitting cross-legged and reading a book. Michael DeLuca Productions.